Big, hairy, hungry, and mean people have been seeing something stalking Bray Road for years. Is it a werewolf? Is it a Bigfoot? Is it a black bear with mange? No one is quite sure what thing has been haunting the forest and farm fields of southern Wisconsin for maybe the better part of a century. So they just call it the Beast of Bray Road.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Weird World Podcast.
The final episode of Hollow Weird World 2024.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, this is Halloween. If you are listening to this when we upload it on the day of, it's Halloween Day. So today, as promised with the last at the end of the last episode, I'm going to bring you a little bit of a monster feature, a creature feature.
It's going to be scary.
It depends on how scarable you are. Probably not. It's not really a. It's a creature that is said to be, as the tease implied, living as we speak in southeastern Wisconsin. That is in specifically this creature. Oh, by the way, I'm Dean.
Oh, I'm Carrie.
That's Carrie. This is the Weird World Podcast. Let's get right into it. We got a lot to cover. Walworth County is in southern, kind of southeastern Wisconsin. It's mostly farms and small towns, but there are some stretches of forest and lakes, you know. It's think farmy, upper Midwest kind of of the U.S. kind of a place.
You know, farmy.
Farmy, but forest too. Bray Road runs for about 17 miles through this area. It's like an hour, maybe an hour plus outside of Milwaukee, which is to the northeast of it, and about the same, really, to Chicago, to the southeast. So it's not like it's, you know, the great outdoors so much, but it is kind of a rural area, a farm, rural, small town area. Bucolic, one might say.
Sounds very great outdoorsy to me.
Well, not like rugged mountain kind of thing. You know what I mean? Don't think it's like that, like the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. or something like that, or you know, huge stretches of forest and things like that. Bray Road is nowadays famous for its monster, its beast. But this legend really wasn't truly birthed until like the late 1980s, early 1990s. Oh. But it is said that the first appearance of the creature we're going to talk about appeared more than 60 years before that in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Ever heard of Elkhorn?
Nope.
No, me neither. Small town, about 10,000 people live there now. It is picturesque. Have I said that twice so far? I might say it more. Again, this kind of upper Midwest town. It's sometimes called the Christmas card town.
Oh.
Just give you a kind of flavor. Carrie, I think, would like this.
I think I would, too.
I think you would.
As long as I didn't have to live that there sentence. All winter long.
Oh, okay, yeah. It gets cold and snowy for sure.
Yeah.
It sits, again, in this kind of sea of farms and like dairy farms, corn farms, soybean, let's say, cranberries, that kind of area. Again, though, with lots of lakes. This is up by Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. Wisconsin probably doesn't have 10,000, but I'll bet you it's a few thousand. Back in 1936, the population of Elkhorn was only about 2,300, so true small town. At that time, there's a guy named Mark Shackleman, and he was probably pretty glad for his Depression-era job as a night watchman at the St. Coletta Catholic Convent. Now, it wasn't, I mean, they had nuns there, I'm sure, but already by this time, St. Coletta was the place for, like, you know, good Catholics in the area sent their, I don't know, I'm going to do
wayward.
Air quotes. Yes. and the idea was kind of mentally impaired.
Oh.
They're young women who were.
Not wayward.
Not, you know, probably once in a while.
Yeah.
Yes. But generally speaking, some women, young women, and even girls who are having mental problems.
So.
And it's famous, actually, or infamous for it. In 1941, it was the place that the Kennedys sent Rosemary Kennedy because she had a mind of her own. And they lobotomized her.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And they sent her to this Catholic place.
Mental problems, meaning telling your daddy's full of shit.
In that case, yes. I'm sure in many cases they did have that heavy issues, I'm sure. So he works at this place.
Also, I don't know if a convent is the appropriate place to send a kid with any kind of problems.
If you're Catholic, it's the only place to send all kids with all problems, I'm pretty sure. It was about midnight one night. The exact date is literally never given in any source I've read. All the sources talk about the Beast of Bray Road, talk about this story. Not once did I get an actual date. Not uncommon in this story. When Shackleman, he's making his rounds in the fields, I guess. It has some fields around it. By the way, St. Coletta is still known today for it's a mental health. That convent there, I think it's closed down, but it's still an organization that is devoted to mental health, oddly enough.
So, okay.
And in so the convent had these fields. He's out, I don't know, I guess making his rounds, I guess, in the fields, looking around, make sure there's no kids causing trouble, I guess. I don't know. What would you do? I mean, who knows? People might break onto the grounds, you know.
Sure.
Drink some beers.
Boys.
1936, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's peering into the moonlit darkness. I'm assuming there had to be some kind of moon because he's going to see something and describe it. So he sees something standing there. I'm sure he assumed a person. And he said it's standing atop what he calls a, quote, Indian burial ground.
Of course.
I don't know how he knows. It might have just been a small hillock.
Yeah.
But he took it. He said it was an Indian burial ground. And he realized something was pretty big. It's at least as tall as a man. And it was standing upright like a man. But as he got a little closer, he saw that it was hairy. And it was wolf-like. Not more wolf-like than it was human-like. And then it sort of crouched down to this burial mound and dug at and sort of clawed at the earth. And he said he saw it had some pretty big claws. He walks toward the creature because he's a badass. I don't know about you. I might get the hell out of there. But he's a night watchman, so he's doing his job. And he walks toward the creature. The creature apparently saw him, turned and fled and disappeared into the night.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty freaked out. He's not sure what he just saw. He gets off his shift. He goes home and he tells his wife that I saw something weird last night. He tells her about it and he's describing it. One of the things he said to her, he said, you know, I looked at his hands and its pinky and its thumb were, he said, quote, shriveled. And it seemed like it had three normal sized fingers, I guess proportional. But
how close was he to this
creature? That's pretty close, and it's at night. Intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So apparently he got pretty close.
I'm skeptical.
Well, of course you are, Karen. You believe in nothing. But he tells his wife this, and he said otherwise it seemed like it was fairly normal. So, I don't know what that means. I don't know that he knew what that means. And he goes back on his next shift the next day, and he's like, I want to see this thing again. Maybe it'll come back to this Indian burial mound for some reason. It was a clawing at something as if it's trying to dig something up. I don't want to know what. If it's an Indian burial mound, I don't know, bones? I don't know. I mean, it's like it's fresh meat. He sees it again. He waits till nighttime. It gets dark. It gets night. He goes out in the same field. He goes toward this Indian burial ground, and there it is again. And again, it's making these clawing marks. Oh, by the way, during the daytime, before it got night, during his shift, he went out to see there, and he did see like what he called raking marks on top of this Indian burial ground.
Uh-huh.
So he's looking at it again. It's dark, so it's pretty late at night. There it was. The creature is back. This time, though, when he starts walking toward the creature, it didn't turn around and run away. It stood up fully upright on two legs and faced him. He said he thought it had to be 7 feet tall. It was huge. He said it's, quote, covered with dark or black hair, gave off a bad, bad odor. He said it twice, so you know it's bad.
Yeah.
Like long dead meat. Had eyes that looked right into me, and it made a sound. It was like a three-syllable sound, low and mean. I'm still quoting him, by the way. Something like, Gdara, with the accent on the second syllable. I hope I achieve that. Gdara, end quote.
Okay.
So, Gdara, that's kind of, think of that. Shakamon, he had been a boxer. He's only in his mid-30s. He's in really good shape. He had been a boxer for a time. He could take care of himself, but he is terrified.
Yeah.
Quote, then I did the only thing I could do. I prayed to God to save me. There's some other things you could have run.
Oh, turn around and go back to.
This is a quote. And it turned and slowly walked away. For a long time, I stood there. That bad smell hung in the air. And then I said another prayer of thankfulness. I never saw that thing again or anything even like it. End quote.
I'm so glad God saved him.
Yes, me too. So he never saw this thing again. I imagine he went out there every night. I got to that Indian burial ground from a fair distance every single night for the rest of my time as the night watchman at the St. Coletta Catholic Convent. He told his wife again, and he told a few very close friends over the years, but there was no explanation. No one knew what it was, and it just sort of disappeared into local lore at best, if anybody even really knew about it. But it didn't disappear forever. In 1964, so quite the time, almost 30 years later, a guy named Dennis Fulis was driving along a highway near Harvard, Illinois, did I just say Harvard, Illinois? You're probably wondering, how far is that from Elkhorn? Oh, it's about 20 miles or so to the south, so it's not that far. Illinois, thinking, wait a second, different state. It's not that far. Elkhorn is pretty close to the border.
States touch each other. So,
but what else might you be wondering right now, Carrie?
There's a Harvard?
There's a Harvard in Illinois? I had no idea. I had never heard of that before. I don't have an answer for that. Why they have? Maybe there's Princeton and, yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, who knows?
So it doesn't really seem like Beast of Bray Road kind of a thing so far, because nothing's come on to Beast of Bray Road, but we'll see later why that it was named. But still, you know, in the vicinity, that makes sense. Fulis, though, he is driving along this road in Illinois, and he sees something just streak across the road. It's around midnight, and he's driving home from his job at the Admiral Television Corporation. They made some damn good TVs back in the day. You know, I've never heard of them, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of Admiral TV?
Yeah.
Oh, I have not. They're long gone.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So he's driving home.
I'm really old.
Yeah, you are pretty old. That's true. He's on Highway 89, you know, where it becomes Highway 14. You know the spot in northern Illinois.
I do not.
And the creature crosses by his high beams, let's say, his headlights. And he described it as dark brown, at least 7 feet, maybe as much as 8 feet tall. And he figured weighing about 400 to 500 pounds.
Oh, okay.
The monster preferred the term husky, Carrie. Yeah, I know. Whenever people estimate the weight of something, it's just hilarious. Silly. I guess he's trying to indicate, I guess, that it was pretty thick. It's pretty husky.
Sure.
I don't know. It looked big to him. Besides being 7 or 8 feet tall, 400 to 500 pounds would be pretty thick. Even at 7, 8 feet tall, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So the thing
fur is heavy.
I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah. So this thing, you know, runs across the highway in front of him. It then leaps over a barbed wire fence on the other side of the road and just sort of disappears again into the night. Presumably, I don't know if it's on his way to or from work the next day, but in daylight, he checked the spot where he had seen the creature, and he looked over the fence and he saw like the cornfields looked like they had been disturbed. Something had run through the cornfields. I'm assuming he did it on the morning. The next day on the way to work, let's say.
Right.
He was pretty disturbed himself, though, not just the cornfields. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. That's a plan always. Thank you. You're welcome. He would later tell a writer that, quote, "I was awful scared that night. That was no man. It was all hairy from head to feet," end quote. So he was sure it's not a person.
And this is like 30 years later.
Yep, it is. Now, we fast forward 8 years later for the next episode. It's 1972. We get back up to Wisconsin. In fact, we get back once again to the vicinity of St. Coletta in or near Elkhorn, Wisconsin. A Department of Natural Resources agent named David Gajetson. I don't know if the G is silent or not. So it could be David Getson, or it could be even David Jetson, which would be a very cool name.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Gajetson just to be a dick. And because people mispronounce my last name in a similar way, so fuck them. And he took a call from a woman who was just terrified. And she said, "Hey, I live about 2 miles away from the St. Coletta Convent, and I just saw something. You know, can you come here and check?" She said that she had seen an ape-like creature just kind of strolling across the farm when, wait a second, did I just say ape-like? I did say ape-like. So why are we talking about it here in the Beast of Bray Road? I don't know, because all the sources claim this is part of the Beast of Bray Road lore, even though it was described as ape-like. So let's go with it.
Well, yeah, because, you know, eyewitness accounts
often vary
the same.
And it is nearby.
Thing. So,
it's right there in that Elkhorn area. So regardless, Gajetson, I feel weird saying it like that. I have no idea how it's pronounced. He drove out to the woman's farm. I guess she had like a little farm out there, and she's in her farmhouse, and he took a look around, seeing, you know, he's a natural resource. I don't know if he's like a park ranger. He's an agent for the DNR in the state. So, you know, they know animals. They probably did like fishing game and stuff like that. He didn't see any sign of anything. He didn't find anything. He didn't find tracks, anything that seemed untoward or unexplainable to him. And he left the woman probably shaking her head in anger, because it's like when you take the car into the repair shop and it doesn't make that goddamn knocking noise. Mm-hmm. Anything you know has been making that knocking noise. I think it was something like that. So she's like, "I know there was something out here," but he's like, "Sorry, ma'am." And he leaves. Yeah. I gave him a southern accent. Sure.
Wait, can you spell Gajetson one more time?
G, I never spelled it at all, but I will for you.
Oh, I thought you did.
Gjetson.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
It's probably Gjetson or something.
Gjetson.
Like that.
Okay, well, let's call him Gjetson. That's the fourth pronunciation we've offered, and they're probably all wrong. So it's 2 weeks later.
GJ, that's weird.
You know what? Let's just get by. Let's get over this. Okay, let's move on. He's about 2 weeks later, and Gietzen, as Carrie will make me say it, was back out to the woman's farm because she had called again, and she's more frantic than before. She's like, I see her again. Get out of here. I'm scared. And that's what that's actually what she sounded like. I've heard recordings. It's 1972.
She said, I'm scared.
I'm scared. Come on out here. This time, the creature had come right up to the woman's farmhouse, and it jostled the screen door.
Ooh.
Was that thing trying to get in?
Obviously.
Did it know how to use a door? Apparently not. Stymied by doorknob technology, it turned around and walked away.
Well,
and went, well, if it wanted in.
You know it has those shriveled up thumb and pinky.
This I don't know. We haven't heard that since Mark Shackleman's story. In fact, we will never hear that again, just FYI.
I'm assuming.
So it's going to take a dark turn here.
Oh, no.
Probably the worst part of this entire story.
Oh, okay.
It jostled the door, didn't get in, and it walked over to the horse shed where it went into the horse shed and it slashed the neck of the horse in a 30-inch gash along the horse's neck before leaving. I did not hear any word if the horse lived or did not live, but that's still kind of a dick move, beast. She said when she looked outside, she saw a slash along the side of her house over by the door again that was about 7 feet from the ground, indicating it was very tall. And probably also like, oh, I can't get in with these goddamn, I don't know how to use door handles. So it's angrily slashed the door and then went out there and tried to kill a horse. Or possibly even killed a horse. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was the last, before this spate of sightings in 19, that started in late 1989, that was the last one. It kind of goes to bed for a while again. And then it's 17 years later that the Beast of Bray Road will really kind of get his name and its legend would be cemented, at least in the area. Anybody in Wisconsin is going to have heard of this.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit wider, that sort of that area. And it was the fall. Actually, I think it was either the fall or even later in the year. You hear different things from a couple of sources. It wasn't written up until almost the end of the year, but most sources say it occurred sometime in the fall. So I don't know a date. There isn't a date. But a woman named Lori Andreese was driving home on Bray Road, thankfully, and she was coming from her job as the manager of a place called the Jury Room. It was a popular night spot in Happen in Elkhorn. It's about 1:30 in the morning, which makes sense. All that checks.
Uh-huh.
As she sped home, Andreese catches sight of something on the side of the road. She said it had its back to her as she sort of approached it in its headlights. And it sounds like she drove a little past it because she turned back, or maybe she looked in a rearview mirror, and then she can get a look at the front of it, right? Quote, it was kneeling. Its elbows were up and its claws were facing out, so I knew it had claws. I remember the long claws, end quote. And she said that it was holding something in those claws. She wasn't sure what it was, but it seemed like it's almost roadkill and like it's, or something dead, and it's like feeding on it or something like that.
Sure.
So you imagine something kneeling, human-like perhaps, with eating, you know, a dead possum on the side of the road. Think of something like that. But the thing that really frightened Andreese was that the creature, when she spotted it in her headlights, instead of turning and fleeing, the thing stood upright and faced her passing car. So, you know, you think an animal would, I don't know, see headlights and get the hell out of there. I don't know. But it stood up on its legs, fully upright, bipedal like a person, and faced her. And she was just horrified. She just stepped on the gas and sped off and got the hell out of there. So she gets home. She's wondering what the hell she just saw. And I guess the next day or soon thereafter, she went to the library trying to like research, like, what did I see? And when she's at the library, she found a book called The Golden Book of the Mysterious, published in 1976.
I'm assuming not one of the children's golden books.
I don't know. Those are things?
Yeah.
It might be.
No, they're literally for very small children.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was. I've never heard of the Golden Books, but if that's a thing, if that's an imprimatur, then yeah, it was. Is that an imprint called the Golden Books? So it's a series of books?
Yeah.
Well, this is about the mysterious. There's a lot of like the Golden Books of making, you know, mining gold or what do they have? The Golden Book of making yo-yos. Is it like Dusty's Treehouse?
No, it's not like that. No. There's like In fact, I just saw one, and now I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't buy it. Because they do it about like adult movies, like the Golden Book of the Alien.
Excuse
movie.
Me?
The Alien.
Oh, okay. Not like, adult. Jesus. Kids like, book about porn.
I think, you know, it's geared toward kids. Fairy okay. tales.
Well, I think this
pokey
is.
Pokey Little Puppy kind
this,
of.
This is the Golden Book of the Mysterious.
Picture Pokey Little Puppy. That's what Golden Books are.
In it, she saw a drawing of a werewolf. And it something snapped in her head. And she said, oh, my God, that's what I saw. I saw something very much like a werewolf last night.
That is kind of what it sounds like.
You might be wondering, though, has she never really seen the depiction of a werewolf? She needed to go look it up.
Yeah.
She was a grown-up in 1989, and she had never seen a werewolf depicted. She hadn't seen the classic American Werewolf in London. What about Wolfen or The Howling or Silver Bullet? I get not having seen The Howling Three Marsupials, which included, by the way, werethylacines, which is awesome. But has she not seen The Howling Two? Your sister is a werewolf? How could she not have seen any of those movies also, and seen a werewolf?
There had to be werewolves in Scooby-Doo
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
So how does she go to
Wolfman Jack?
He was a human, but he didn't look like a werewolf. But he looked kind of werewolfy, but still, she had to have seen or the Wolfman from 1930, whatever. Come on. Apparently not, because she needed to go to see this Golden Book to see a werewolf and go, oh my God, that's what I saw last night. I saw a werewolf.
Huh.
So I don't know.
She just want to be sure.
You don't want to know the other mystery? Is why the hell that library had the Golden Book of Mysteries in it in 1976? That seems weird to me.
Well, no, that doesn't seem weird at all.
Okay. I'm really sorry I said that.
The library.
Andreese believes that she saw something that was not human that night. Quote, it was night and it was quite late, but I know what I saw. You don't mistake something like that. To this day, I believe it was satanic. It was just my feeling. I don't believe in werewolves per se, but I believe something could be, well, conjured up. End quote. I don't know what she means by that. I think she kind of does believe in werewolves.
No, I don't think she believes in werewolves, but she believes in satanic things and I'll bet you demons. So maybe.
Oh, but she thought it looked like a werewolf. So demon disguised as a werewolf, perhaps? Okay. All right. We'll get to that in theories, Karen.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It does kind of sound like that. So about a year later, in December of 1990, Andreese's story would get kind of some corroboration. An 11-year-old girl named Heather Bowery, she burst into her house and she tells her mom, Karen, that, oh my God, I just saw something super weird. Me and my friends were out there. We were in the snow, I guess on a slope, and apparently sledding. This is winter, Wisconsin. You so do that.
That's what you would do on a snowy slope, yes.
For sure. That's what you do. You sled. I mean, I would. And one of them spotted something around dusk. And it looked something like, they thought at first, a huge dog. It was on all fours, apparently, because they describe it as looking like a huge dog. And it's at the edge of a cornfield near where they're sledding. Mm-hmm. It said his fur was kind of silver, but spotted with patches of brown. His face reminded them a coyote. The creature, and just sort of staring them down. And Heather and her friends just like slowly back away. They didn't want to disturb it. They didn't want to scare it.
Yeah.
But then suddenly it just leapt toward them and it started chasing them.
Ooh.
Kids all scream. They start running toward their homes. And about halfway to their homes, the kids saw the creature just sort of kind of slow down and stop the chase. And then it kind of slowly made its way back to the cornfield and disappeared into the cornfield. Another kid that was with her, his name is Russell Jastique, I guess confirmed the story. And, that again, so a little bit of corroboration there for Heather as well. But the story gets weird because there's a different version in different sources about the same incident. And it comes from a school bus driver named Pat Lester. She apparently overheard Heather telling her story, but she said this was happening in 1999. That's 9 years later. What's weird is that Heather would be 20 years old in 1999. What exactly was she doing on a school bus? I don't know.
Yeah.
So the timing is very strange. Unless she told this in 99 and it happened in 1990, it's not clear. It's not well written. So maybe that was the answer. Anyway, she said that she overheard her telling a friend about this thing that happened to her, this big dog-like creature. The other weird part about this and the serendipitousness of this is that Pat Lester was Laura Andreese's mom. So she knew about her daughter's story. And so she connected, and rightfully so, with Heather's story. And Pat Lester, the school bus driver, and Laura Andreese's mom tells the reporter named Linda Godfrey, who by this time had covered the story for the newspapers. We'll hear a little bit more about Linda Godfrey later on. So she tells Linda Godfrey, and then Linda Godfrey goes to Heather and gets the story directly from Heather apparently. Again, so this may have happened back in 1990. Like I said, it's weirdly written. And she got a kind of a little bit different version of the story. She said, okay, the kids were sledding, and they said what they saw was a dog by a small creek near a cornfield, and it was on Loveland Road, which is only about a half mile southeast of where Bray Road meets the Hospital Road. I know you know the place as well.
Yeah.
The friends thought it was a big dog, so they started to call it over. Like, here's your bubble. No. Oh, come here right now.
Which is absolutely what you would do.
I for sure would probably do that, yes. But in this version, the creature spotted the kids, and then it rose up on its hind legs and started lumbering toward them. It took, you know, 3 or 4 steps toward them. Upright on two legs. Oh. And what Heather would say seemed a little bit awkward. But then the creature, like, sort of jumped for them in a way. Here, this is weird. She thought was beyond the capability of a dog. I don't know if she's seen a lot of dogs jump. Some dogs have some pretty good hops, but I guess this thing jumped at what she thought it was too much. Like a dog couldn't do this, I guess. It then dropped onto all fours.
Has she ever seen those frisbee dogs?
Frisbee dogs can jump like mother.
Yeah.
Blank. I don't like to cuss. And she said it dropped onto his forepaws and it started chasing after him. She said that she thought it chased after him something like 250 yards or so, which was roughly halfway back to their house when it sort of veered off and then retreated. So a little bit different. The big difference from the first original story is that it went up on its hind legs. The co-witness name I mentioned, Russell Jest, he had his own version of that. And he said, I'm not even sure it really was running toward us. He said that, you know, it reared up and maybe moved a little bit toward them, but they started running. And he said he thought the thing just sort of, you know, was running off in a slightly similar, but then veered away into a different direction. So he's not sure if they were being pursued. He said the thing had black and gray fur and was maybe about 5 feet tall or so. The next encounter with the beast was from Doris Gibson. She had her encounter auspiciously on Halloween night in 1991. Ooh. Like Andreese, Gibson was driving along Bray Road. It's a foggy night, and she suddenly felt her front of her car almost like lift up, like jolted, like she hit something.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, okay, did I hit something? She drove about 50 more feet. She stopped because she wanted to get out of the car and see, okay, is the car injured? Did I blow a tire maybe? Is something loose? So she looks out. I guess she didn't see anything too bad with her front of her car. And so she walks behind her car and walks back down the road a little bit thinking, what did I hit? She walks back a little bit and she didn't see anything in the road at all, right? So she goes, okay, well, maybe I did hit something, but it went back into the forest. Yeah. I don't know. There's woods on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, something big, a creature burst out from the forest. Here's a quote from her. Here comes this thing, and it's just running up at me. It was no dog. It was bigger than me. I've never seen a human run like that, and my uncle was a track star, end quote.
So I've seen humans run.
First of all, I've experienced seeing human beings run. Second of all, nice shout out for your uncle. I know he appreciated that. So Gibson races back to the car as this thing is chasing after her, and she jumps into the car, and she floors it. But the beast was pretty fast. It probably took her a little bit for the car to get going because as she's, you know, spinning on the asphalt, the creature's there. It's caught up with the car. And she said it leapt on or toward the trunk at the rear of the car. But thankfully, there had been light rain that night. So it leaps on the trunk of the car and just slides off on the other side. Like, you know, like Starsky and Hutch slipping over, jumping over a Chevy Camaro with a lever kind of a thing. So she guns it. She gets away, and she would later say that she felt as if she had been captured, she was, quote, dinner. And so she's just thankful that she's able to escape.
Yeah.
But duty called later that night when Gibson was called to retrieve a friend from a party. So she's pretty shaken, but a friend calls and says, I'm so drunk, Doris. Can you come pick me up? I don't know. I have no, that's not even an accent.
No.
It's just a speech impediment. She goes and picks her up and she's coming home on Bray Road again. And the friend suddenly just starts freaking out. And she points outside in the dark toward the side of the road and says, look at that thing. Doris, to her credit, was having none of it. She did not even look. Her friend screams and yells that and she just boom, floors it, screeches the hell out of there, and gets away as fast as she possibly can. So that's smart.
She wanted to be dinner.
Nope. She did not want to be any creature's dinner.
Here's the thing. If this creature wanted to eat people and it was chasing kids around, it could have.
That's true.
You know, it could have caught those kids and eaten them.
Kids are quite edible.
Yes.
For creatures.
And they're slow.
So they're shaking. The friends get home and they look at the back of Gibson's car, which, by the way, was a sweet, sweet Plymouth Sundance. It's a four-door sensible sedan. Wonderful car. There on the trunk were thick claw marks scraped into the metal.
You should take a picture and save it for posterity.
Not that anyone has ever seen. At least I haven't.
She had a camera.
She had another narrow escape from a creature. That's what she had. She called this thing a, quote, freak of nature, one of God's mistakes, end quote.
Oh, that's which not seems a nice judgy. Thing to say.
It seems a little, I don't think so either.
Wait, hold on a sec.
What?
I thought God doesn't make mistakes.
Oh, sure. No, it's a Tears for Fist song. They for sure do.
Well, she must be a heathen.
Worse yet, that creature was almost certainly uninsured, so Gibson had to pay out of pocket for the touch on that sweet, sweet, sweet Plymouth Sundance. That's some bullshit. Tom Brichta, he was a guy at a wedding reception.
No, I like reception.
Oh, we'll stick with reception then for now on forever. You have to say it too. Commit to it.
Say I'm buying into it. Just I like it.
You didn't say what was the first word you said there?
I'm buying into it.
I didn't say about it. I didn't say about it. So he's at a wedding reception.
I don't recognize that.
Oh, you bastard. In Genesee Depot. Which I know you know where it is. We're still in southeastern Wisconsin with a friend named Chris Maxwell. It's August 1992 now. Mm. And he said he had his experience with the beast at this point. This is about 25 or so miles north of Elkhorn. So again, you know, the area. Tom was driving Chris back to where Chris was staying at the Jellystone Campground south of Milwaukee when they waited.
Hold on.
Did I just say Jellystone Campground? All right, you beat me to it. Was this place named for the Yogi the Bear cartoons? Are you kidding me? There's a place called Jellystone Camp. I looked it up.
That's hilarious.
Jellystone, like our national wildlife, whatever. And there's a campground at Jellystone in Wisconsin.
That's cute.
We've got to put that on the road trip.
Oh, I mean, sure.
We got to go. Obviously, we got to have the Beast of Bray Road.
We're busy.
It's not far from Bray Road, I'm sure. But it seems like that would have been, right? They didn't get that. I mean...
Oh,
that,
of course.
That wasn't named after Wisconsin. It had to be the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
It has to be. So Chris Matthews, what's the other thing, though, that I'm stopping for? Chris Matthews lived at a campground? Isn't that more or less being homeless? Do people live at campgrounds? Like,
maybe he worked there.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. It's a good point. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's just move on then. So
he's an on-site guy.
On-site guy. That's what they call him.
Ranger.
No, they're called on-site guys. He's not a ranger. He's for sure not a ranger.
Why?
Because he didn't have any jelly sandwiches.
How
didn't,
do you know?
Maybe he was. So it's another foggy night.
In
his picnic basket, yeah. It's a foggy night. And just like the night, remember when Doris Gibson saw her, had her experience, and Tom felt his car seemingly hit by something in the road. I'm sorry, that was Doris. Doris had the thing to hit by something. Somebody else had, who had the fog? Somebody had the fog.
I don't know.
Anyway. Tom thought, okay, hey, did I just like wing a mailbox? You know, those mailboxes, the rural areas, they stick out into the road a little bit to make it easier for the mail person, the deliverer. And so he thought maybe he hit a mailbox. And so he stopped the car and he's backed up a little bit to see if he hit someone's mailbox. I don't know, was he going to leave a note? But very honest guy. And then seconds later, he sees this gigantic hairy beast emerge from the fog and is walking toward him on the road. And has his arms kind of out in front of him, he said, almost like it's reaching out toward him as it's walking toward the two of them. I think they're still in the car, Tom and Chris. Or maybe he got out to see if he could see a damaged mailbox, and he sees it walking toward him, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they're still in the car because they said they had the window open. And Tom said, suddenly I was just hit by this waft of stink. Just a horrific smell. He would later compare it to a skunk, but, you know, it was just a god-awful smell, he said. And so, but he's got to focus. There's a monster approaching toward him. And he said it was kind of a dull white-gray fur streaked with some black. And then it got to his car and it scraped its claws along the metal on the door. So again, he hasn't taken off yet. I'm not sure why.
Right.
So maybe it's moving pretty fast. And so it gets to the car, scrapes along the side of the car, and that's where the story ends. The sources I've read, a couple of sources have this story, or at least, and I don't know what happened. I guess they took off, but no, just write a sentence, person who wrote this, and just write, and then they left. Whatever. That must be what happened, but that's the story kind of ends there. So I think we can agree that Tom probably just, you know, floored it and got the hell out of there. No word, though, on what kind of car he had or if it was a sweet, sweet baby blue Plymouth Sundance.
Or how he paid for those repairs.
I would like to know. But you probably wonder, the Plymouth Sundance, Carrie had a 2.4-liter four-cylinder engine and a smart 27-mile city, 32-highway. It's Carrie is sensible and sexy. That's the Plymouth Sundance. It's the car for everyone.
You did your research.
I did my research.
Plymouth Sundance.
Are they made anymore? Of course not. They haven't been made for years, but...
And you did look up Jellystone, you said.
I did. So as the rash of sightings are now drawing a lot of attention, some folks start remembering earlier encounters. Every encounter I said before 1989 comes to light here in 1990, after the first one in late 1989 and 1990. Even the 1936 one. From what I can tell, that wasn't told to a wider audience until after the first initial the sightings I'm talking about now, and they're getting a lot of attention in the local press.
Well, that doesn't make any sense because that person would surely be dead.
Their family, possibly their like the first guy, Mark Shackelman, presumably his family. Remember, he told his wife, he told family members. It probably, you know, it was came down in family lore that this crazy thing our grandfather saw in 1936. By then, I'm assuming that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. So, but it's drawing a lot of attention, and people start saying these stories, some of which were not long ago, though. So one was from a guy named Mike Enton. He said that back in March of 1990. So he's telling the story in a couple years later, but he said, a couple years ago, he said, okay, I saw something on Bray Road. It was a big creature, like a huge dog, but it was sitting weird. He said it was sitting like a raccoon, and I think raccoons sit kind of almost on their butts a little bit, and they hold things in their hands. I think that's what he meant. I'm not positive. Because he said it had something in his hand and it seemed to be eating it. So again, it's kind of crouched down. That is reminiscent of Laurie Andreessen's encounter. And so it's crouching down and it's eating something again, like it's eating roadkill or something like that. And he said, no, I'd been drinking, but I was more or less sober and I know what I saw. He said he passed by it on Bray Road near his intersection again with Hospital Road. And the creature looked at him as he passed by it. It had a black fur. Its snout looked like a dog's muzzle, he said. And the thing stared right at him as he passed. And he was freaked out by it. And apparently didn't tell anybody until a little while later. But at the time, he said, I thought maybe I saw a black bear. But then I started hearing these stories in 1991, 1990, 91, 92. And I began to wonder, had I seen this more wolf-like beast of Bray Road? So 1989 to 1992 appears to be kind of the heyday of it. And that was where a lot and most of the sightings were. But it didn't, I'll give you a little sampling. It's been seen ever since, up until pretty much the current time. And it seems to have hit a lull, though, in, I don't know, the second half of the 1990s into most of the 2000s. It seems like, because the next one I found was in the fall of 2010, a woman said that she saw something that looked kind of wolfish. And it rose up on his hind feet. It says it was like 7 feet tall and it was on the side of the road, on some road about 10 miles off away from Bray Road. And she said, as she drove by in her SUV, it started running with her. And she said she got up to about 55 miles an hour
and kept
pace with her, which is very fast.
Yeah.
It then.
Dogs can't.
No, I don't think so. I don't know if even a greyhound could. It reared up. And it leapt across the road in front of her, then apparently on hind legs, apparently, and then it dropped to four legs and disappeared into the trees. A quick aside, did you notice what I just said? And have you noticed a lot of these stories, you get a year, maybe a time of year, but that's about it. Fall of 2010, blah, blah, blah. That's a little weird. And maybe the people just being lazy in the retelling, I don't know. But you also have some of these stories are being relayed later, and it's sort of approximate dates. I don't know. It's something I've noticed is that you.
I mean, if you're telling a story about something that happened to you last fall or last whatever, you're not. You
might.
You may not even remember the exact
But why wouldn't you tell people the next day or the same day of something like this. You would, right? I mean, so you think that
chances are you did.
Well, but if it's covered in the newspapers, you should have an exact date. So maybe it's just, like I said, maybe people who are relaying these things are just kind of lazy and they leave out the date that they, I don't know. It seems a little weird. So in the fall of 2011, four friends, they are walking to their truck. I'm assuming it's a truck. It just said vehicle, the thing I read, but four friends from Wisconsin, it was a truck. And I don't know what they're doing. Were they hiking? Were they hunting? I'm not sure, but they're walking back to their truck. Again, it's this rural area. And they said they saw this now proverbial beast of Bray Road race up a hillside in front of them. They said it was on all fours. And so they thought at first, is that a deer? Is that a bear? But what baffled them is they looked at the hind legs and they all thought the hind legs looked more dog-like.
Right.
They get back to their vehicle. We're going to say it's a Ford F-150 King Cab because it fits four husky guys comfortably and it really gets better gas mileage than you might think. The Ford 150. They said that they saw the creature in the tall grass near up the hill near the tree line where trees start to take over. And then they saw it standing on two legs now. It didn't make any kind of aggressive move toward them. And presumably they drove off and it loped away, but they were pretty freaked out. Two women hiking in a time, I don't know when, I didn't get a date for this one at all. They're hiking in between Milton and Whitewater. That's kind of northwest of that Bray Road area. And they said that they were walking through a cornfield. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe it's a shortcut. I don't know.
That seems like trespassing.
Yeah, it might be trespassing also. And they heard a kind of like a baying wolf howl. They said it stretched on super long. It sounded foreign to them. They never saw anything, but damn, was that scary. I don't know. This is also it's one of those stories like, why are you talking about this? Why are you writing about this in a Beast of Bray Road article? I don't understand. I don't know. And in case you're wondering, no, there are no wolves in southern Wisconsin. So two presumably different women also hiking along, were in a place called Avon Bottoms. It's about 50 miles west of Elkhorn. So now if this is the Beast of Bray Road, it's getting around. They heard what they thought was an owl hooting. But for some reason, they thought it actually sounded like a larger creature faking an owl hoot. I don't know why they thought that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. That would be a clever thing, though, for a creature to do. Yeah. A hungry, carnivorous creature.
I don't know why.
And then the hoot turned into kind of a growling, snarling sound. So they, too, never saw anything, but they heard something that scared the shit out of them. Okay.
Sounds
this
scary.
Also has been lopped in with the Beast of Bray Road stories because it was, you know why? It's in the state of Wisconsin, I feel like. They later added that there was also, this is the weird, it gets weird. They also, I guess a different version, or they later told people this. I guess they told people this version first. And then later they said, oh, by the way, when we got back to our car, there was a huge furry creature next to our car.
Oh my God.
After we got through the cornfield. Oh, sorry. We left that out the first time. And this is another one. It just ends there. No word on what happened next. I mean, did it open the door for them?
Did we shoo it away?
I have no idea. They also, by the way, said in this later version that they saw lit orbs in the sky.
Okay.
And this was not the first time they had seen UFOs.
They were out there getting high while they were.
I think they were.
They weren't hiking.
There was some cannabis involved for sure. By the way.
Or maybe some acid. Who knows?
Yeah, there could be some acid. By the way, fun fact, Avon Bottoms was also the name of a little known porno about the misadventures of a young door-to-door MLM salesperson. True. True fact.
That's probably not true.
In the summer of 2020, so at least half a season in a year again, there was a man was like sitting in his truck. I think he's waiting for a delivery. He was at a farm. It's a few miles away from Bray Road, so we're back in the nearby vicinity here.
So there, I told FedEx to beat me up.
No, it's not FedEx. Probably like you know, hay or something.
Yes,
like that.
But I'm a suburbia dweller, so when you say waiting for a delivery, I think.
You think, well, Amazon, obviously, and it's on my porch, and I can see them in my ring. So he sees something when he's waiting, and he said it was a werewolf. And he said this werewolf stalked toward him on two legs it came out of the woods on two legs, and he said it just came out of the cornfield and picked up something on the ground And then went back to the cornfield and left the way it came.
He was picking up his trash. Good.
I maybe. Police good in the area.
Citizen werewolf. Yeah.
Here's the thing. He said he had more or less the exact same experience a few days later at the exact same place when he was again waiting for some farm delivery. So two times, this creature that looks to him like a werewolf comes out of a cornfield, picks something up, goes back into the cornfield, and leaves him alone. I would stay away from that farm. Yeah. Or actually, I go to that farm every single day and get a picture.
Yeah.
Until I got a picture, yeah.
Yeah. This is 2020, correct?
Yes, 2020, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that dude had a cell phone. There's
he for
no
sure
excuse.
Did. But he's probably very startled when he sees a werewolf come out of a cornfield and pick something up. And probably, I'm assuming,
sure, the first time.
Yeah.
Not the second time.
Yeah, right. Second time should be less. He should be a little bit more ready for that cell phone.
Should have had his camera out ready to go.
There's another story about these men collecting water samples at a quarry. I don't know why.
Just test it, obviously.
Well, it doesn't say anything about them being any kind of official. So it's like, I don't know. Hey, Bob. Yeah, Kevin. Do you want to go get some water samples from the quarry? Do I?
Well, I'm sure.
Do you have your child's chemistry set? I do. It's near Elkhorn, which, as you know, is the Beast home base. And they saw the beast nearby. So they're out there getting water. And they look up and they see the beast. It fits the description. It growled at them. In a way that they said almost sounded also like a yell. So a kind of a yelling growl. I feel like some of these sightings may be, honestly, homeless men in like shaggy coats. This one for sure was, I think. This was just like, get out of my quarry. That kind of thing is what I think is happening there. In May of 2020, a guy named Ron Rice was dropping off fertilizer at a farm nearby. You're going to see a lot of deliveries of farm things here, agriculture. There's a lot of farming, I said. So it's near Burlington. It's east of Elkhorn. And he said the forest is pretty close, like 150 yards away from this, that where he is parked in this farm, like on a circular driveway. And it's pretty thick forest at this point. It's pretty deep and dark. And he said it was daytime when he saw, which again, you've seen a lot of them have been at night and are at dusk. And he looks out of his truck and he spots something. And he said, quote, this thing was huge. It was over 7 feet tall. It was brown and hairy with coarse hair. It walked out and picked something up, then turned its back toward me and went back into the woods. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the end of the quote, by the way. Just 2 weeks later, Rice said he again saw the creature also walking from the woods and returning back to the woods. I mean, that sounds familiar. A, yeah. It also sounds like someone missed the opportunity to make a friend. Okay. I don't know. It does sound eerily similar to that other story, though. As far as I can tell, they're not the same story with names and dates, but it's not impossible that they are. Again, it's different sources and they give different levels of detail. This one gave a little more detail. It's not impossible. It's a repeat with the same story.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'll do one more. It's from a guy named Lee Hempel. He kind of deserves special mention because he has made the Beast of Bray Road kind of a little bit of a project for him. He is a retired school teacher who moved up to Elkhorn area in Wisconsin from Illinois. And one day he's out, quote, cleaning up roadkill, as you will.
Yeah.
And he found a raccoon in apparently pretty decent shape. So he brought it home and buried it in a little hole on his property.
Why?
Carrie, normal everyday stuff. It's called marinating. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to think I know. I think I know. It's called a pressure cooker. It's quite delicious. And so a couple days, that's the story goes. He brought roadkill raccoon home. He buried it in a hole on his property.
So you think that means he's going to eat it?
I think so. I'm not positive.
Why you bury it?
I don't know. You're
acting like you know. Like I don't you have
know.
Some
I,
kind of knowledge.
I don't know. And it's something I don't want to go into too much because it scares me. So a couple days later, he goes to retrieve the raccoon, and he finds that it's been slit open, like all the way from like stem to stern. It's been split open on its underbelly, I guess. So he's undeterred, and he goes out roadkill again. And he finds this time a badger. So what do? You bring that badger home, and you plunk it in the same hole where he had buried the raccoon earlier on his property.
Okay, I don't like any of this.
He's a little scary, yeah. And when he came out to unbury the badger, he found that it's been unburied already, apparently, and it's laying there about 20 feet away. So he's like, someone's messing with my roadkill. He's not happy about that. So he sets up some cameras to catch this carcass molester and find out who this is, who or what is messing with his roadkill. Uh-huh. again, he's retired, Carrie. He's got a lot of time on his hands, all right?
Yeah, but if he's going back to unbury it, that's the suspicious part. Like, what is he unburying?
Maybe he just has a
for?
Fetish about unburying things, and he doesn't. He's going to graduate eventually to humans, but not
he
yet.
He just wants to look at it?
I don't know. I truly don't know. I can tell you fix it on this. I just don't know the answer.
I mean, this is the story here.
Yeah, this is a good story. This is Lee Hempel's story. There's more.
This is the scary part of the story.
This is the very scary part. So he goes out this time. So he wants to, I guess, bait his camera trap. Uh-huh. So he finds a deer.
Oh, my. Defines one. Just he laying
a
around.
A deer roadkill.
Okay.
That's the interpretation I gave to how the story was told.
Okay.
And he sets it up in view of these cameras, and he waits. And then he's reviewing the film one day. And he says on the film, he sees odd flying lights in the air around the carcass.
Oh, aliens.
And he had seen those lights elsewhere on his property uh-huh. at other times. And so the one day he goes out to check on the deer carcass and it's gone. So he says, okay, I'm going to check all my cameras. He checks his cameras for any signs of what happened to the body. And he says on one of the cameras, he sees the deer carcass lifted up as if by a mist and taken away. The deer carcass. So that's a heavy lifting. That's a strong mist. That's uh-huh. what that is.
Yeah.
At this point, you might wonder if Lee is just a little bit deranged.
Uh-huh.
Don't jump to conclusions, Carrie. He told the television show Expedition X, that he has seen many orbs in the night and also straight up clear UFOs. He's also seen Bigfoot. He has seen the Beast of Bray Road, but he's also seen lots of other creatures that he cannot identify. He also has cast of some footprints of these beasts that I think he says are the Beast of Bray Road. Sure, to the naked eye, they look a little bit like a shapeless blob and not any kind of print really so much. But to the trained eye, they look like a shapeless blob that's not any kind of a print of anything. I'm just kidding. They look a little bit, I have seen one, I don't know, a dog, a bear. I don't see claws in them. They just look kind of ovalish. It's not even clear it's a footprint or any kind of a print at all, let alone a print you can say, oh, that's good evidence for an undiscovered cryptid or something like that. It's certainly nothing that unexplainable, but at best, it looks vaguely like an animal footprint, maybe.
You know, maybe this is just the confluence of supernatural paranormal activity is right over his yard.
Oh, hold on.
Are there ley lines involved here?
I have not
crossroads?
Heard that, but I wouldn't be shocked. There is some pictorial evidence, by the way. A guy named Danny Morgan on January 29th, 2020, Danny took a picture of a creature crossing a road. He was on a road called Weeks Road. It's only about a mile or so from Bray Road, so right in the area. And he said he looked up and as he's driving, he sees a wolf-like creature walking on two legs across the road. So finally, Danny, not being an asshole like everybody else, takes a picture. And we will put that up on our social media. And I'm going to show Carrie here in just a second. I will say this. That does look like a wolf. It looks even like a little bit of... I mean, it looks a little bit like an upright wolf. I'll show you a picture right now, Carrie. And you folks at home, please look at the picture by Danny Morgan.
Oh.
Carrie's now looking at the picture. Does it look like a wolf to you?
Or
it's like an upright
a
wolf,
dog,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
A wolf or dog. It looks wolf-like. I will say that. Or yes, it could even be one of the wolfish kind of dogs. It looks like it's walking.
Like a man.
Yeah, kind of a man-like walk. People have criticized this picture and have looked at this picture, and they say that the right arm, the right upper limb, the one closest, or maybe it's the left. Wait, hold on. It's right upper limb. Doesn't look quite right. It doesn't look like it's an animal. It looks a little bit like it's a rod. Like it's not even really the animal's paw. They say the stomach doesn't look right. It looks a little distended. And the other thing they think they found is that there's no blur. And Danny said it is walking across. It was in motion. You take a picture and something in motion, typically there's a blur. And in this picture, you can see there's no blur whatsoever. And there's also the problem I think of is that he took one picture. This is a bipedal wolf creature walking across the yard. You're going to take as many pictures as you can click your finger until it disappears. You're not going to take one picture in all likelihood as it strolls across the road. Seemingly, by the way, just in front of you. Look how close it is. I don't see any glare or anything like that from a front windshield. So it seems like he's out of his car now and he's taking a picture feet away from a bipedal wolf, as you will. So there's, I mean, it's it 5 or 10 feet. What would you say? It looks very close to me. So most people have said this is a fake. And I think you would have to concur. I'm going to be more forgiving then that that's a fake by Danny. I'm going to say that someone was, like a skinny person, was walking their stuffed wolf across the street, happened to be in front of Danny, and they didn't see him. And he's embarrassed because he was stealing the stuffed wolf and he was caught. So he just took off.
Hey,
and Danny didn't see him behind the stuffed wolf. That's
if he
happened.
Only took one picture, then the picture that you showed me is enhanced.
Oh, is it really?
Because I'm looking at a picture.
Let me see.
And I mostly see, well, I've got cords connected, but it's far on the right-hand side of a landscape picture. I see most,
Maybe he did take more than one picture
then.
And
it's very blurry.
Okay, he might have taken more than one picture then.
In your picture, is he literally on the road?
He's probably on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's walking up a little bit of a slope to the road.
Yeah, every picture I see looks like it's just some version of this picture.
Okay.
And
it's possible people have messed with it.
Yeah, I believe
most people think it's fake. I mean, what it looks like, honestly, is he set up a stuffed wolf, took a still picture.
Looking at the one that I see where it looks like it's the original untouched photo, it looks like it could be a man.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, in a suit?
Maybe not.
Okay. All right. Well, that's even more interesting. Okay.
The arm looks more manlike.
Does it? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Well, that's the only picture we've ever had of the Beast of what is supposed to be the Beast of Bray Road.
Yeah, come over here and look at
again,
it.
Again, that's just one guy.
We can cut out the pause.
That looks the same. It just looks blurrier.
Well, I know, but
it could be a man.
That could easily like that. Be a man's. I mean, it only looks like fur it's fur.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it could be in a furry suit of some sort, a furry something, a getup, a badly done wolf outfit.
Yeah.
Werewolf outfit, even.
I don't know. I still like my theory of someone was walking across their stuffed wolf. So by now we do have a kind of a pretty good picture of the Beast of Bray Road, no pun intended. Or at least some people think we do. You see a lot of people in the lore, they say, oh, there's so much consistency in these reports. Is there? Really? I see a fair amount of inconsistency in these reports.
I see a lot of consistency.
It walks on two legs, sometimes on four. It seems to be something like 6 or 7 feet tall, sometimes a little shorter, sometimes even a little taller. It's
six to eight feet is not a huge stretch.
Yeah. It's broad-shouldered, kind of imposing. It seems wolf-like, sometimes a little bear-like, or maybe big dog-like. It has a dog-like snout. It has pointy teeth. It has claws for sure.
Uh-huh.
It's covered in fur. Sometimes it's kind of shaggy fur, and sometimes a little bit matted fur, you hear. The color is kind of all over the place, but it's usually a kind of a brown or a black or a gray.
But you know what we know about eyewitness accounts.
Yeah, that's true.
Very faulty. So
you also have this stink.
Uh-huh.
You had multiple occasions people say that's had this dreadful smell, like a skunk or maybe even rotting meat. And also something the Beast proponents cite is that we haven't heard that much yet, but you see it cited, is it said to have bright glowing like red or orange eyes. I didn't hear that in really almost any of the stories.
Yeah.
But you do see when you read multiple times, when you read descriptions of it, people bring up the eyes. I'm not sure where that comes from.
Yeah, I think that comes from embellishment.
Probably so. Some witnesses have also said that when the Beast is walking upright, its hands appear very human-like, as if they could grasp things. So, but you would have to get pretty darn close to see that.
Yeah.
And again, these are mostly at night. They're glimpses, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Or foggy or something like that. So they're for sure there's some embellishment here. So the Beast of Bray Road did have kind of a storyteller that turned it into a local legend, and that was her name was Linda Godfrey. She was a reporter for a newspaper called The Week. It was in a town called Delavan, which is just west of Elkhorn. And her was sent by her newspaper to go cover Lori and Dreese's story.
Her was sent by her newspaper.
Her was sent by her newspaper. I've heard it both ways. So her was sent by her newspaper. Her was sent by she newspaper to cover Lori and Dreese's story, as you recall, for the story that put this thing on the map. And she said that she was very skeptical. She thought, okay, this is just some little dumb story. I'm a pro, though. I'll go and cover this. I'll get the whole thing. And she even drew a sketch. We'll put this on. I don't have it to show you, but it's a sketch, a drawn sketch of this wolf-like creature, seemingly bipedal, kind of kneeling down and munching on roadkill in both of his hands. And that's kind of an iconic image of the Beast of Bray Road. And she says the story that she wrote came out December 29th, 1991. Godfrey wrote, "At the time, I considered The Beast of Bray Road sort of a throwaway story for a slow newsweek. But the article inspired many people to come forward and say that they had seen the same thing, and not always recently. Some of the sightings in the Bray Road area were up to 10 years earlier, with one possibly related event about 40 miles away in Jefferson County, dating back to 1936, end of the quote. That, of course, refers to the Shackleman incident from St. Coletta Convent story by, I think it's Mark Shackleman. So, which means, though, that, as I kind of alluded to earlier, that means that story had sat there for like 63 years before Linda Garfield hears about it. So that's why I said earlier, he was in his mid-30s. He'd be almost 100 years old. Right. It must have been told by his family, is what I assume. So she said that Godfrey said that she became convinced that there's something real out in the woods there by Bray Road, because it just seemed like, you know, they were consistent. They seemed sincere. They seemed truly scared. So she came to believe this story.
Yeah.
And she also became a prolific author of, I think, a lot of stuff about the paranormal. She's published about 16 books, and four of them are about not just the Beast of Bray Road, but the Beast of Bray Road and also what she calls upright canines. So werewolf-like creatures. Okay. Four of her 16 books have been about that same subject, the Beast of Bray Road. But she actually wrote a book specifically about the Beast of Bray Road. So she's not calling them werewolves, but that's clearly what she seems to be driving at. Linda Godfrey seems to believe that there are actual living werewolves, flesh and blood werewolves amongst us right now and living in these farms and places like that. So she made it pretty big, though. She wrote, quote, "There is a high probability that everyone is not always seeing the same thing. There could be a biological, physical animal seen by some, while others see phantoms or supernatural entities from a variety of sources. A few may be misidentifications or hoaxes," end quote. So just a few. A few, maybe. The rest, though, are actual flesh and blood werewolves. I don't know what supernatural entities are phantoms, but apparently, yes, like you said earlier, yes, the southeastern Wisconsin is a hotspot for this kind of stuff. The story has become kind of lore. It's been featured in the episode of a show called The Lost Tapes. But although this one, I'll show you a picture of this. It was really weird because it seems like a bastardized beast. It's called The Beast of Bray Road, but they didn't try very hard. It looks more like a really bad Bigfoot with like a sheep's skull face or something like that. So they just sort of fictionalized it looks like, if that's the right word. But it's also been on Monsters and Mysteries in America. It's been on Monster Quest, Expedition X, as I mentioned earlier. Oh, and it's also been on Haunted Highway in 2012, America's Urban Legends in 2016, Hexen Arcane in 2020, Slammerang! In 2014, and In Search of Monsters in 2019. I am not 100% sure what really any of those are. I think some of our Haunted Highway, I looked that one up. That was a TV show on. It was hosted by Jack Osborne.
Really?
A person only famous because his dad bit the head off a bat. Two movies have been made about this thing, including the 2005 indie hit Beast of Bray Road and the 2018 documentary The Bray Road Beast. I'm assuming the next iteration is either The Road Beast of Bray or The Bray Beast of the Road. I can't wait for either one of them. It's like, oh shit, they already used the Beast of Bray Road. What are we going to do? Just redo it. Follow the same thing. A guy named Steve Cook produced a snippet of a film in 2002 that claimed to portray the beast when it was shot sometime in the 1970s. So he says this is old film. It's from the 1970s. It's kind of be called the Gable film. It's about 3 minutes long, and it's just like a bunch of – I've looked it up on YouTube, of course, and you can go ahead and find it. Type in, Steve Cook Gable film, and you'll find it. And it's like just some family members, and it looks like they're snowmobiling. Think of like, I don't know, birch tree kind of forest, so they're widely dispersed trees. It's not very thick. Uh-huh. They're snowmobiling, and someone's taking a picture of his family, I guess, snowmobiling in this lightly wooded area. And another shot has like a dog running around. Another shot has, I think, a woman chopping wood on a log. Just like, hey, just stuff. We're just catching some stuff. Early 1970s, I got a Super 8.
Yeah.
It's film. And it ends with, at the end, he's just like sort of, it looks just taking pictures of the woods. Like he's sort of panning this woods. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and use the rest of my 3 minute film. And oh my God, what the hell is that? Because suddenly in the background, there's a creature And it's a kind of a hulking, maybe furry kind of a creature. And it's just sitting there, and it appears to look at the camera person. And suddenly it starts running kind of more or less on all fours, it looks like, toward the camera person, who flees, because all of a sudden then it's just you don't see the creature, and the camera's just, you know, shaking and things like that. It's silent, by the way. There's no sound.
Yeah.
And it's just this wild, disjointed frames for, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds or so. And some sources say it ends with like these yellow fangs right at the camera, knocking the camera to the ground. I've seen the thing. I watched the end of it four times. There's no fangs.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Again, that's people can look that up. Don't write something that dumb. If people can look up and see, no, there's no fangs. You never see that it takes two or three steps on all fours. That's it. That's the last. And when it's filmed, it's probably 50, 100 feet away.
Yeah.
It's a fair distance away, but you know.
They're just trying to make it scarier.
Yeah. And again, so I don't see any fangs. I thought I saw like a little bit of a curled tail at the end. So I'm thinking, is that someone's Akita? They called it or something like that. And so, but anyway, Steve Cook, for 10 years, he says, what are you talking about? That's the Beast of Bray Road. I don't know how he explained where he got the film from, whatever, it doesn't matter. He said, I have this film, that's the Beast of Bray Road. He finally, though, he went on some TV show and he admitted, drum roll, please, I faked it.
Yeah.
I made it in 2002. I got black and white film, and I was trying to kind of drum up renewed interest in the Beast legend. Again, it had sort of fallen away. He's a local. He loved this. There's like, people should be talking about this more. I know what I'll do. Not an Akita, by the way. It was a man in a ghillie suit. Which is like when it's like something you wear to go hunting. It's camo.
Oh,
but it almost looked like Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
In this thing, and when in hindsight, yeah, no, I didn't see Akita. It does look like a person in a ghillie suit. That's exactly what it looks like. And so he's just hunching there, and he just takes two or three steps on all fours, and then, you know, like you said, you never see it again. So let's assess. I want to make a few points about this before we talk about what it might be. First, I'll note that none of the supposedly pre-1989 stories were known or told until after the Indrizia incident in late 1989. It's a little bit, I mean, you know, no covers whatsoever. That delay between when something happens to create this thing, even if pretend the 1989 Andreese sighting was real, if suddenly people start remembering that, that's not, Linda Godfrey seems to think that's evidence for it. That's actually the exact opposite. It's a red flag that people are making things up. It just is. I'm not saying everybody's making it up, but it's certainly a red flag because you think these things would have been said before that. The sighting in 1989 then immediately leads to these repeated sightings for the next several years. Where was it hiding? Why did it stop hiding all of a sudden in 1989 to be seen multiple times in 1990, 91, 92, take a little bit of a rest, but being seen again throughout the 2010s, when, by the way, it's being featured on all these television shows about paranormal things. Most of the stories do read a little bit like creepypasta, you know, fuckery at a time. Even in the early 1990s, you know, that there is starting to be that kind of a trend. I think that the internet is just starting to get a hold of this Baltimore's and things like that. So I don't know. And of course, the 2010 things, they all read literally like creepypasta in the 2010s, I should say. There's a little bit tells. Again, they're not proof, but they are, you know, evidence against, I would say. You have to have this, I won't belabor it, but you have to have the proverbial breeding population for something to exist.
Yeah.
And this thing would eat large game in Wisconsin, an hour away from Chicago and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord, you know, we know the creatures that do that.
Yeah.
There's very few of them. Like I said, there's very few black bears up here. You know, it's farms, it's towns. Again, that's why I mentioned earlier, it's not this primeval, rugged, mountainous forest. It's just not that. And this is a predator that's as big or bigger than humans. I mean, come on. You wouldn't just have the occasional flyby viewing from a car like that. And add to that, almost all the sightings have been at dusk, they've been at night, they've been at fog. You know, that makes mistaken identity legitimate, not purposeful lying, but legitimate mistaken identity very. So you've had a lot of explanations for the Beast of Bay Road. Apparently, early on, Mark Shackelman and other people thought it sounded like a hellhound. Literally a hellhound. Remember he said, I prayed to God.
Yeah.
His family, I think, thought it was a hellhound is a beast a big dog that does the bidding of the devil.
Yeah.
So let's just say that no one thinks that anymore. Leave it at that. A close cousin is what you said earlier. Some people have thought this is a demon.
Yeah.
Of some sort, literally a demon. Shackleman, remember he said it did something like Gadara, yeah. Right? So people have taken that and they said, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like the town of Gadara. That was a place mentioned in the Bible where Jesus exorcised a man possessed by a demon who had come out of some tombs, apparently. So could this have something? And it's pawing at this Indian burial ground.
Yeah,
I mean, coincidence? Yes. That seems kind of like the kind of thing you'd hear about from people who have a basement and they've got a lot of dry erase boards on there and they have colored yarns going from place to place all across. You can barely walk through his basement and there's a lot of words on the dry erase boards with question marks after them. So, and they're just asking questions. That's the theory for those kinds of people. So the obvious thing is werewolf, obviously. What you thought of something else? Shapeshifter, werewolf, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's throw in Sasquatch or any kind of. People have said, oh, maybe it's a Bigfoot. Maybe it's an Ahila or a skunk awarakan. You're asking what the hell those things are? We'll get to them. Trust me, we will. They're cryptids. Maybe it's a giant chupacabra. Who knows?
Yeah.
But some people even said like it's a big dog or these just dogs.
Yeah.
But the obvious thing is black bear. Some people have said black bear with mange. Mange is, of course, the disease dogs get it where they start losing their fur. We'll put a picture up on our social media with a black bear that had mange. I don't know that you need the mange, to be honest with you.
But everybody knows what a bear looks like.
They do and they don't. Again, this is an area, there are no almost no bears. In this part of southeastern Wisconsin, bears are mostly transitory. There's not a large population of even black bears. There's much more in central and northern Wisconsin.
So I've never seen a bear walk down our street, but trust me, if I saw a bear, I would know it was a bear.
At night, as you're zooming by. Yeah, so okay, a black bear with mane, so it looks weird and different to you. I don't know, maybe. I honestly think it could be a straight up normal black bear. Know. And as you're flying by, because remember, it's the old, I'm not going to say the two words together again, but the words involve the word mass and also later in the sentence, the word hysteria.
Yeah.
And Linda Andreese sees something weird come out of the forest and eating something. Very much sounds like a black bear. And she, for whatever reason, she ascribes it to something weird. It looked too big to her. It acted weird to her, whatever. Yeah. And now now people read that. It, like I said, it got coverage in the local press. And all of a sudden, when they see a black bear, maybe it does have mange, or maybe it's unusually large. Who knows?
Yeah.
Their frame of mind is ready to see something that's not a bear.
Yeah.
Even though they know. And like, you know, but like I said, though I pointed out the bear population, because even outdoorsy people, you're right. You know, you should be able to recognize a bear.
Yeah.
But it's night, it's foggy, it's dark, you're zooming by. For whatever reason, you're trying to be scared. You know, maybe they're mistaking just a regular old black bear, or maybe it is a black bear with mange. I'm showing Carrie a picture of a black bear with mange. It does look more dog-like, doesn't it? They're actually surprisingly skinny, too. Black bears, without their fur, are skinnier animals. This is probably this is not a large black bear, but they look very dog-like. They're fairly close related. The canines and the bears are on the same branch of the order carnivora, you know.
Yeah, and no, I might not recognize that as a bear.
No, you might. You might not. So, you know, you don't need anything supernatural here, but I prefer to believe that it is something because there's a woman, her name is something Fink, and she runs an extravaganza about the Beast of Bray Road. I think it's gone on for 3 or 4 years now, and she has like panels and things like that. Oh. Again, has to be on the road trip to go see that. And she personally claims several sightings of the Beast and many other creatures. Southeast Wisconsin seems to be a paranormal hotspot, which she believes in. And here's what she said, quote, "I don't know whether there's some kind of a portal or if the veil, the barrier that separates the mortal world from the spirit world, parentheses, is thinner there. I'm not sure who they are or where they're coming from, but they're all connected, all the different creatures," unquote. We have to go talk to her.
Huh.
So if we go on this trip.
She's trying to sell a script.
She's selling a week-long extravaganza. And so we got to go to the Beast of Bray Road, and maybe we'll, on the same trip, Carrie, think about it. We could see a chupacabra.
Yeah.
We could see a Sasquatch. We could see the Mothman, maybe even a lake monster. That will have been well worth it.
Sure.
So we're putting that on the road list.
I hope we don't forget to bring our cameras with us.
We probably will, because everybody else seems to. So that is the story of the Beast of Bray Road, a legend in Wisconsin You saw it got a lot of, those were all national TV shows, yeah. I cited. So it got a substantial amount of press in the 2010s for a while there. And it's still apparently being seen to this day.
Is that where you heard of it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I've heard of it, but only because I've heard of you say something about it. But
it's been on my list. I've wanted to cover this for a while. So I thought Halloween makes sense. Because, you know, the mythical creature would be the werewolf, which, by the way, is my favorite mythical creature. But I don't believe this is where I love werewolves. Werewolves are awesome. I'm a huge fan of werewolves.
I thought it was the nanny bear.
Oh, okay. Yes, you're right. Well, no, the nanny bear is my favorite cryptid. The werewolf.
Same thing?
I think nanny bears are real, and there's a breeding population of nanny bears in Africa.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Werewolves, I don't think. I don't think that's a possible thing. But the woman in Wisconsin does, so we're going to go have a chat with her when we go to the next Beast of Bray Road, whatever it is.
Extravaganza.
It's probably, it's probably in October, now that I think about it. Damn it, next year.
Missed it.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks, Dean. That was a good one.
You're so welcome, Carrie. And that's the end.
I feel like we got a little punchy there.
It did a little bit. It went a little longer than I thought. That is the last of our
Spooky season
Hollow Weird World 2024. Yes. We hope you enjoyed it.
And everyone, have a happy and safe Halloween.
Yes, sure. Why not?
Okay. Don't eat any bad candy.
Nope. See you.
Bye.